From side hustles to success stories, this is the Finance Ghost plugged in with Capitec, where we explore what it really takes to build a business in South Africa. Mani and George van Grienen are IT entrepreneurs who show us the difference in thinking when software is written by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to this episode of the Finance Ghost plugged in with Capitec, and what a fantastic season we've had. I've gotten to speak to all kinds of different entrepreneurs actually doing really interesting things. And in the most recent episode, I also got to chat to the executives of Capitec who have actually built Capitec Business from where it started as Mercantile Bank, which Capitec then acquired, into Capitec Business as we know it today. And my guests on the show today have actually been with Capitec as their primary business bank since the Mercantile days, and now it's Capitec, of course. So they've walked quite a long road with the group, which probably says something. That is Mani van Grienen and George van Grienen, both the co-founders of Olympia Holdings. Mani, George, thank you so much for doing this. George, I'm not sure where in the country you are at the moment. Mani mentioned that he's currently in the Free State in what looks like a rather pretty, almost farmhouse-style kitchen there. Very nice. So probably a little bit more interesting than where I'm sitting right now. But welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm sitting in Durbanville in our head office in Cape Town. So thanks for that.
Nice. And Mani, you're in the Free State right now.
Yes, thank you very much, because we're with a client in the Free State on a farm. We're actually assisting them with some implementation and services we do over here. It's actually awesome to be out and about in the farm area where it's quiet and we've got animals roaming around. So it's just totally different view, but very blessed to be here and very thankful as well. And thank you very much for the opportunity.
Yeah, fantastic. I love that. And it's good to have you guys here. So thank you. And thank you, Mani, for making time while traveling as well. It really helps. I'm excited to dig into the story of Olympia because my understanding is that at the core of this thing, there sits a problem that a lot of companies face. And that's stuff like making performance reviews interesting to actually get them to really work for employees. And we'll dig into a lot of these things. Now, my experience working in corporates has been that when people hear performance review, there's almost this audible groan in the room. I've seen all kinds of these things ranging from very mundane tick box exercises where it is literally a tick box and nothing actually ever rides on it, let's be honest, through to very spicy 360 reviews in a more bonus driven environment where you can get some nasty surprises through the performance process. And you can also get a lot of validation for the effort that you've actually put in throughout the past year. And of course, there's everything in between, from absolutely useless ones to those ending in tears and good outcomes where you get a chance to really learn and grow. So a pretty interesting space that you're providing solutions in. And you guys have got some adjacent businesses on the staffing side as well, which we will definitely dig into. But before we get to what Olympia does, can you just give us the backstory to this business, how it was started? That's always such a good place to begin.
Thank you, guys. Olympia was founded in 2017. We're based in Cape Town, like George mentioned, the head office. And we did it with a clear idea of, say, technology could fundamentally change how organizations manage people, performance, and customers. Although we're a software development company, we build digital solutions, and we've seen all these recurring challenges that companies have, especially when it comes to performance and how they manage their people, and a little bit of challenging times when they want to manage their clients and how they manage them correctly and stay in touch to actually build a positive relationship with their clients. With building the company, we basically got to the point where we started Olympia Engage through this process. And that is our performance management and engagement platform with a built-in CRM component to it. So it sounds fairly funny with all the components together, but we'll go through probably in a bit more detail of how it actually fits in as a package, how it's been assisting the clients through growing their business, making sure they manage their people correctly, even do customer enablement, how they can actually be closer to their clients and give them a better service, which in return brings more profitability to the companies. At the same time, it also actually helps the internal people to manage the performance side, how the people can improve and where they can do things better. We've learned a lot ourselves. Prior to this business, we had a 140 staff complement with people sitting all over South Africa and some of them being based abroad. And our biggest challenge was how to make sure that our people felt engaged, part of a team, and then also how do we manage that performance reviews? It becomes a massive cost exercise to fly people all over, especially managers, to go and sit with the team and do performance management reviews one-on-one. That is how the engagement platform actually originated and how we started implementing it for ourselves internally to make sure we can actually get that process to the point where we can save money, at the same time give the people the best outcome, both for the company and for the employee. It's not a biased thing. It's actually an interactive process where people can engage from the start through the 365 days in the year. And at the end of the day, when the review is done, they're all on the same page. managed properly prior to anything that might be a big concern or something that could be a big impact on the performance of the business or the employee itself. That is where we as a company started from. We're very, very excited in what we offer to our clients at the same time as the internal process to our own people is how we can manage them and also see the results from implementing the system to support them as well. In a nutshell, that is who we are, and it's myself and George. And then we've got a very nice staff complement that we've been with the company for many years. And that's even a nice thing for us is how the people integrated into the business and worked with us and grow and saw the vision of what we want to achieve. And it got us to the point where we are currently today.
Fantastic. And I'm so tempted to ask if it's a plumber's tap type situation and if your own internal performance review process with your own staff works so well. No, I'm just kidding. What is cool to see, though, is how you went and built a business that just feels like it solves problems that you had in your previous business, which I think is great. And it's amazing how many entrepreneurial stories actually follow that kind of path where it's saying, well, I wish this thing existed, hence I'm going to build it. This is basically what the finance ghost is. I looked at it and thought, well, I wish that people could have better access to investment insights and perhaps a more experienced business voice writing about the markets, as opposed to a lot of what you'll find in the traditional type media outlets. And here we are today. So that's what you've got to do sometimes. You've just got to build the thing that you wish existed in the world. And the other point that you've raised there, Marnie, which I like, is that concept of avoiding a negative surprise around the time of a performance review, because that is actually such a strong point. If you arrive for your performance review and that's when you find out that all is not well, it's actually your manager's fault more than it's your fault, because you just haven't been given ongoing feedback and you haven't been given a chance to actually make it work. You're probably being managed out of the organization if that's happening to you. That is the reality.
Correct. If one person could do everything in a business, that would have been the ultimate, but we know it's not possible and that's why we need people in a business. The problem sometimes is if a manager and person in the business doesn't always give the feedback to management quick enough or to the staff itself, it creates a problem. It creates a negative impact when it comes to performance reviews. And we know that when people do say, yeah, we're going to do a performance review, it's like, oh, we're really going to have to do this now again. People don't always believe in it because I feel it's also most of the time a one-sided scenario. But in saying that, we've learned through this, and you rightly said that we actually went through the pitfalls of sending people all over, doing things, trying to make sure we do performance management to make it a reciprocal thing, not just for the business, but for the employees as well. And it took us a bit of time, and we got to the point where I think we got a system that actually looked after both parties, and also that feel part of it. It's not always to get people engaged in other systems or products or anything like that, but at the end of the day, it basically brings them close to the business when they feel that you're actually doing something to make sure they feel engaged, helping them try to grow within the business and doing things that assist them as well. Because we know if people are successful, the company is successful. It's a reciprocal thing. And I think that is where we're very excited about how we can help people by achieving that in the long term.
Yeah, I like that. So, Marnie, I can see that you kind of naturally step into the spokesperson role. But George, I don't doubt that you've been absolutely integral to this journey. Maybe give me a sense, George, of the roles that you each play and why you feel like it's been a good team. Was your previous business also the two of you together? Have you been doing this together for a long time?
We've been doing this since 2002. I think why we're working well together. As you mentioned, Marnie is more from a sales perspective, spokesperson. I'm more on the technical side, driving the back end. I think that's what's helping us to grow the business in the way we do, compared to if we were the same type of people, we might have bumped heads a bit. But in this case, we've got good defined roles that we can actually achieve what we need to achieve.
I wanted to say the clearly defined roles, that aspect is something that's actually come through on this podcast season before, because we've had, for example, married couples who have done businesses together. We've had siblings, friends, business partners, whatever the case may be. It always feels like the road to success is to have these clearly defined roles rather than if you both bring exactly the same skills. Then all you're doing is same skill set, double the overhead. You're not actually building something complementary. You need someone who fixes your blind spots. That is what inevitably makes a good team. And of course, so much of that comes through in performance reviews, right? It's about saying, well, what are your KPIs? What is your job? What do you bring to this machine? And how do you make it better? And then you get judged accordingly. That's how this entire thing works, and that's how organizations function. Now, in understanding more about Olympia, I wanted to move into how you guys are very much a technology company first and foremost. Software seems to be central to what you do. It's an exciting space, but my feed on X, previously Twitter, At the moment, it's just AI slop after AI slop after AI slop, and a whole lot of posts about how software is about to get eaten by AI, and software as a service or SaaS is dead. Now, I'm sure, like with most things, it's an extreme view, and whilst there might be a little bit of truth to it, I do think it's way more complex than that. I want to talk about that later, but in order to get to that conversation, I need to first ask you about some of the solutions that you have, specifically around the digital solutions that you offer. You've touched on some of the problems that you solve, but maybe for someone who's listening to this and going, oh, that's interesting, could you just give us a bit of the lay of the land in terms of the actual software solutions that you do offer? And then I'm super keen to understand how you do that and the role that AI might play in that in years to come. So let's start with the solutions themselves, please.
100%. We describe ourselves as a technology company first because of software, the core of everything we do. We have a team doing different things in the business, like we said. But we build digital platforms, develop custom software, and help organizations implement systems that drive measurable performance and outcomes. We want to make sure that the systems we do take out to clients is user-friendly. It's things that people can see the value that they can use and immediately get results that can actually make a huge impact in the business and the system as well. So a key differentiator for us is the combination of the CRM system and the customer nurturing part of the app itself, built in with the performance management and the reward system. So we know there's a lot of companies doing CRM, there's a lot of companies doing performance management, there's people doing reward systems, but we've actually put us all together in one. So it helps to manage the staff, performance goals, and productivity in real time. It sounds too good to be true, but we try to get something where people can instantly, on a leaderboard, on a dashboard, see how it actually tracks within a business. From a company perspective, to be able to visually see where there's pain areas or areas that they need to address, it actually makes a huge difference, especially if you want to grow your business in a positive way. Make sure that your revenue improves and everything that you do is benefiting both parties. We also offer software development, testing, implementation, consulting, and ongoing platform support. We do a lot of various areas in the software area. Testing is quite critical as well. You have to test something before you take it live, and most companies will know that if they've done internal projects. If you do not test properly and you go live and something happens, you 99% of the time lose people's interest or the customer's interest because they don't want to sit with the app or anything they use that's not working or it's giving them problems the whole time or anything like that. Then it becomes a negative. So we try to move away from that. So we do proper testing and we've got a massive amount of experience in that area. And then we've got very good developers from a development perspective to support the process, but also support your customers. So it becomes like a nice family type team business that we extend to our clients and actually give them the benefit of it as well. Moving companies from a manual fragmented process to real-time data-driven performance across both people and customers, that's ultimately one of our big goals, is to make sure we assist customers in achieving that as well.
Interesting, and that was quite cool to hear. I think there was a farm vehicle reversing in the background there, but you are literally on a farm. You're there getting to know their businesses, for better or worse, farm vehicles or otherwise. And I just love that Venn diagram that you've referenced there. CRM, customer nurturing came through, performance management, rewards. I can tell that this is software by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. It speaks directly to the lifeblood of any business, which is revenue. Anyone who has run a business is very, very aware that you manage from revenue down, because if there's no revenue, you don't need any of the other stuff. So if your performance management is not directly addressing how you either make money or actively support someone making money, then it just doesn't make sense in a small business. Big organizations, they can get away with huge compliance teams that are very far away from customers, which is necessary for many of those organizations. They're either highly regulated or they're multinational. They have a lot of complexities that create that need. But for a lot of SMEs and entrepreneurs, they need stuff that is actually just linked to revenue. So I think that's a pretty interesting take on it, trying to link the software to the actual lifeblood of the business, right?
You're 100% spot on there. I must say, apologies. Like we say, business has to go on and people need to make sure that they're productive and actually get their business growing. So it's an interesting journey for us being part of the farming industry to help them as well. You're absolutely right in saying that there's so many things that impact any business from a growth perspective. And if you don't make money, what's the future of the business? The main thing is people need to believe in the future and obviously be part of that growth to make sure that both themselves and the company is successful.
Look, you did warn me that a bookie might find its way into this podcast. That would be an unusual interruption. So far, we've only had a farm vehicle, but it's certainly authentic. Let's move on then into gamification, which is one of the tools that you do use to drive engagement. And this tells me the companies struggle to actually get employees to use these digital tools. Again, I have got experience in some really big corporates, and they would go to great lengths to get people to actually adopt these tools, etc. There's a carrot and stick approach, right? There's the you will do this or approach, which is one way to run a business, I guess, and the other way is to just try and make it a bit more enjoyable. There's a spectrum. I would argue that either end of it is probably wrong. You want to be somewhere in the middle, but it's obviously nicer if you can add some gamification elements and that kind of thing. So maybe walk us through the leaderboards, for example, which speaks to competitive organizations, and that, I think, drives better performance. Maybe just talk us through some of the tools that you use to actually improve adoption in these organizations, which sounds like it's one of your key selling points of the system.
The biggest challenge is adoption. I used to be in different industries before, always been in sales as well. How do you measure people? From a sales perspective, I want to sell. I don't want to go and work on systems, and my adoption rate was, please don't give me something extra to do, because if I have to spend more time with, I can sell this, whatever the case might be. But what we've tried to do is to actually bring a system together for the people to be able to do things quick, efficient, don't have to spend all day on it. We're not replacing current systems they have. We actually either integrate with them or actually complement them. But what we do is we try to make it a quick, very easy process where they can just log in, do what they need to do and go, and do the sales accompanied and actually promote themselves and grow. And that forms part of any part in the business. It's finance, HR, any part in the business will get a benefit of doing it in a very quick, easy way from a performance perspective on the daily tasks from a work perspective they need to do. So we know that companies invest in digital tools, but employees and teams don't always use these consistently. So we've had that same problem where people would say, oh, you know, we're not going to take part of this because we don't feel the benefit of this. The adoption rate sometimes is a bit slow, but what we've tried to do is to make it a little bit exciting, but also at the same time, try to get all these things together that it makes sense for somebody to use it. So some of our customers in the beginning, we've had a lot of pushback and say, oh, no, we're not going to use this because, you know what, we know what we're doing and everything as well. And funny enough, with the leaderboards and a couple of things that we do with it, but especially on the leaderboards, if you have the leaderboard placed in a strategic place in a company, if it's in a boardroom or in a cafeteria, wherever people are usually getting together and talk about, and everybody's faces are on that leaderboard, and the person that's not really wanting to engage is not there, they at the point get to a stage where say, you know what, I would actually like to have my face up there. I would like to participate because I feel a little bit out now. And then I see it's not a thing about saying they have to do this. It's about trying to be part of a team, want to do things together. And the way we achieve this, being gamification is a very broad spectrum of how you can do things. We know that there's different ways of doing gamification. What we do from our side to help the client, help the employee to actually achieve this is we use leaderboards. And leaderboards is an effective tool to see how people are progressing, how they're competing with each other, how they're achieving things, and where there's quick problem areas you can address. Because you'll see if somebody's not engaging, they're not going to be on a leaderboard, or they're going to have a 0% on a leaderboard. Those are the things you target and work on to make sure you can uplift that employee, to make sure they achieve what they need to and see where there's a problem you can do. We do goal tracking. So there's certain goals they have to achieve. We do team and collaboration tools within our product. They can work as teams together and achieve certain goals together. That makes it so much more attractive when people can see they've done something and they can see the result visually as well. This active management, we have the management looking into this, assisting in the driving support to the employee to say, you know what, I'm management, but I'm also getting measured on this. So, you know, if we work together, we make this successful. And then we've got a reward mechanism built into it. So if you achieve certain goals and certain targets, there is a reward system that's built into it, but it's totally up to the company side how they manage it. So we don't dictate and say you have to do this as a reward. We advise and we can guide, but we have certain rewards processes built into it, like it's a cash reward system. And there's different ways of just giving a thumbs up or even a gold badge or a silver badge or whatever they achieve. Just say that recognition. People don't always just need a financial reward. They sometimes need recognition. And unbelievably to say, people sometimes sit in the business, they never get, oh, thank you. You've done a good job, or thank you for this, or you know what, well done, you've achieved this. They actually appreciate that. So we try to improve and enhance and help people to get to that, to be able to help the staff in different ways from a reward perspective as well. That's trying to make sure that we keep the staff and the business motivated and aligned. And it is sometimes difficult, but once you've got that process embedded, it's a free-flowing system where people get used to and work on it very quickly and very easily as well. And on the other side, the workflow and the engagement tracking help ensure that the customers are actively nurtured rather than passively managed. With the CRM side, we've picked up a lot of clients sitting with a huge amount of Excel sheets with client data. it's not helping them much because all the data is sitting on the Excel. We know it works. You know, you're not always Excel expert or getting onto the system and trying to remember things. When was the last date of birthday or anything like that? You can import that into the system and immediately you've got access to all those clients. You can nurture them and you can work with them. And it tracks what you've done with the client and you could history it. So there's a lot of things that give that benefit for how you grow yourself in the business, how you grow your clients and actually make everybody successful. And ultimately, it's about making performance, both employee and customer, visible, measurable, and actionable in real time. And that is the key thing. If you have that combination right, it boils down to the bottom line and you actually achieve better performance and a reward at the end of the day.
I just wanted to add to what Marty was saying. Once you've got that leaderboard on, it becomes healthy competition because it's a human thing. If you first and I'm second and we've got a Mauritius trip, it's coming up. I want to push to be first and you want to stay first because you want to get it. So suddenly the employee scores and the company scores.
My cousin married an ex-Air Force pilot. He now flies commercial internationally and he had this great comment about surviving the Air Force. He always said to me, the best way to survive is don't come first, don't come last, and don't attract attention. Good survival instinct there. Although I've got to say, if coming first does get you a holiday to Mauritius, then maybe people would see that a little bit differently. They might just aim for the top of that leaderboard. Just another fun story is one of my first bosses in my financial services career, he had this great line where he said to me, since money was invented, there's only one way to say thank you, which has basically stayed with me for life. It's pretty funny, but it's also not how a lot of people actually want to be managed. I think if you're in a very money-driven environment like investment banking, then sure, I don't think it's about gold stars and recognition. I think it's about bonuses. But for most industries, a lot of it is how you feel at work and the amount that you're contributing and everything else. And it's a mix of these things, and it's about managing the human being. That is what makes it so interesting, is people are different. And maybe that's a good point and a good way for me to bring this new world of AI into this, because AI is very different to people. AI doesn't need to get a pat on the head and for you to say well done and to get a bonus. Although a lot of the way that these models are written, they seem to flourish actually from basically blowing smoke up your you-know-what and then getting it back from you. That's a story for perhaps another day. But what I do want to understand is, as a software business, which is what you guys are at the end of the day, I keep reading as an investor about how AI is going to cause a lot of trouble in this world, etc. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. You guys are the experts here, not me. I'm dead keen to get your insights because I think it's relevant to anyone listening to the show. What is your view on how AI might either impact or improve your business, perhaps? And what are you seeing from your clients? Are they asking you about it, or is it a bit of a bubble on my social media that hasn't quite made it into SMEs yet?
AI is going to shift software from being a system of record to a system of intelligence. Your question right at the end is, from a client perspective, where will we go? That's on the tip of their tongue. I mean, firstly, I always want to ask, have you got AI integrated into the system? What can AI bring to the party and everything as well? That is inevitable. They have to basically adapt from a business perspective because that is the way of the future. We still believe that AI can't replace everything. So it's always going to have to be that human touch. There's going to be things that we as people think of things differently. And that will evolve over time. It's a big thing on everybody's mind. And if you're not going to go that route, you're probably going to be left out in the dry. In performance management, AI will definitely predict disengagement, recommend interventions, and automate coaching insights. So you can just imagine the valuableness of that when people can use some of these AI tools to actually assist them with their performance journey, if you want to call that, where they can get assistance to implement this through the system and at the same time roll it out to the staff in a very positive way. You know, we're not saying AI must replace it. AI doesn't know your business. You know your business. You need to have a lot of input in that to actually achieve that. But I mean, it will definitely help. In a CRM system, customer management, AI will definitely personalize nurturing, predict churn, and optimize sales pipelines. And it will be a quick way to try and get the people to understand where there's gaps and where there's things they need to maybe look at and enhance. Unfortunately, AI, I've had my doubts about AI for a long time in positive and negative ways. It's not something that we as a company can say, okay, Anna, we're not going to go that route. We'll be fools not to do that. We actually, to a certain extent, very excited about it because we've seen in small things, we did use it and we did implement, made a huge difference. And that excites me. Where it's going to end up, that's a different question. The technology evolves so quickly and these AI tools are actually amazing that you get out there. So SaaS companies that integrate AI deeply into workflows will thrive. You know that. So the people that are really doing it is seeing the results on a daily basis. Those that remain static, dashboards will struggle. We try to, from a business perspective, to be in tune with times. And wherever that journey takes us, it's always exciting because it gives us an opportunity to look at things differently. The current market reflects uncertainty about business models. Intelligent software is only increasing. Bringing AI into it is going to give the market that opportunity to actually do things quicker, do things differently. Being in business for quite a while, and when it started off talking about AI, I just said, AI, what is this going to be, you know? And looking into what the company's achieved and how it's actually helped myself personally, not just even in our app and business and certain things that I needed to get some insight in. It was amazing, the quickness of it and how it actually helped you. So, yeah, from that point of view, it's inevitable, my view, that we have to adapt to that, and any company out there has to adapt. And I'd love to flip this back to you a little bit. What do you see AI changing the way leaders manage people and customers in the future, Finance Ghost?
Look, it is interesting. In my world, I've been trying to use it more for research because it helps a lot, actually, the natural language questions versus searching by keyword. I think it just comes more naturally. That's why it's called natural language, right? It's because you're asking a question to the machine that you would have asked your friend next to you. Now you can just ask your AI. The quality of answers varies, I have found. I gave myself 2 days where I basically tried to work almost exclusively with Copilot in Microsoft. Just makes sense for me with where I'm at with my business to use Copilot. And I fed it a whole lot of my writing. And my intention is never that it does the output, because then I'm going to lose interest in my own business very quickly. And my writing will just start to sound like AI, which sounds like everyone else, which is exactly the way to make yourself redundant. But I did want to see what it was actually capable of. I must say, I see it as a research tool, and it was quite exhausting to use, to be honest. On that day, I found, yes, maybe I got some additional insights, but you also have to sift through so much stuff. And no matter how much you tell it to just give you quick answers and to not put all the fluff and everything else into it, you can see how much design has gone into trying to make this thing sound like the nicest person you've ever spoken to in your whole life. And aren't you just great? And of course you would ask that question because you're so clever, dear user. It's a bit gross, actually, in some respects. I didn't like that. And I know different systems will do different things and they've been trained differently, and you can obviously tell them to do different things. I've seen a lot of interesting stuff online though. Claude does seem to be super powerful. That's what people are doing with integrations into Excel and PowerPoint. I think back to how much of my time as a junior analyst in investment banking was spent on that stuff and how much of that might go away. And I guess my overarching worry is around junior staff. I just hope we don't get to a world where 20-somethings who have gone the route of becoming a professional in something actually can't find work because no one is hiring them because they're hiring AI instead. Where will tomorrow's professionals then come from? And that would be a big mess. And I think there is going to be quite a big mess, to be honest, that will have to get sorted out from a regulatory perspective. No one really knows. But I also don't buy the story that someone in a finance team somewhere is going to sit and so-called vibe code a solution instead of using the accepted enterprise-level software-as-a-service solution for finance. I think there are a lot of skunk work type projects going on out there that are driving this demand for AI. And we know that a lot of it is just this big circular reference right now of Microsoft, OpenAI, Nvidia, and friends. How much of it is real? No one really knows once more. I can see that there will be some application of this thing. I actually saw a very funny meme on the socials this morning because obviously my feed is just AI now. And it was a cartoon of a farmer speaking to a horse. And he said to the horse, "Don't worry. You won't be replaced by the tractor, you'll be replaced by the horse that learns how to use the tractor." Well, that didn't help the horse so much, did it? Now, humans are not horses, of course, we are hopefully a bit more adaptable, but it's a lot to think about, it's a hectic thought process to go through.
I agree with you. The big thing is the other side of it as well, that enhances people to make sure that they grow. Because a lot of people want to be stagnant in one position. This is sometimes going to force people to get out of that comfort zone and actually start growing. So negative side and a positive side. I think that's more the positive side. And within our application, we're starting to use that to actually build people, not just use it as to replacing people, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, that's the right way to think about it. And obviously the two of you are just very focused on systems and people. And I think just doing things the right way, I think that comes through a lot. And in your choice of bank, I do obviously want to touch on that. You were previously with Mercantile, and then you stayed with them as Capitec acquired Mercantile. Again, for someone listening to this, go back and check out the previous episode in this series where I actually got to speak to top execs at Capitec Business about how they built that bank. Some fascinating stories there and some really deep insights into Capitec's DNA. And let's face it, Capitec is the best business story in democratic South Africa. I mean, the numbers are what they are. That's the reality. So you guys have stuck with them from the Mercantile days into Capitec Business and all the success they've had. I'm just curious, as systems type people, you've obviously liked what you've seen, right?
Yes, I must say it's actually been a pleasurable journey for us. When we actually signed up with Mercantile, right in the beginning, we know that they were a business bank, something different from the traditional APSA and the rest of the banking out there. We never envisaged that actually Capitec is going to take over Mercantile Bank, but the journey just grew better and better. So from Mercantile moving to Capitec Bank, that was a pleasurable, enjoyable move for us. The way that Capitec manages the bank, the Capitec app itself is so user-friendly. The way they treated us, we probably didn't grow our business to the point where we are without them. They were a big part of our business. They were a big part of how we actually achieve things. I'm sitting here in a Free State with a farmer that actually, we had the same discussion just before the podcast about Capitec and say, you know, how easy it is actually to go and open a bank account with them, how to do a business account, and the way the system just fits in together. We're doing system applications and software that people can use. I think that they can learn lots from the Capitec Bank's platform itself. It is so user-friendly. It's actually so nice to use. And then it comes down to the people. We've had a lot of dealings with different people within Capitec Bank. From a personal perspective on just Capitec and then Capitec Business, and the service has been great. All the banks are following them. I think they're leaders in what they do. And personally, with Capitec, with a Global One account in the personal side and how they do it in the business side, they're just ahead of the bunch. They do things differently. They're innovative. And we like that because that's what we want to do. We try to be innovative and do things different. And we learn a lot from them as well in that regard.
Absolutely. I've read TJ Stradom's book about Capitec called Stalking Giants. It's a worthwhile read. And one of the biggest takeaways that I got from it was that they really focused on just getting a few things absolutely right. And it's a great example of that strategy. I know, speaking for myself and looking at your business, and this is where I want to ask my last question with the time that I have you guys, it's really around just building out different parts of a business, because all of us have that feeling where you need a little bit of diversification, right? It's one thing to build a very big business that is focused, and obviously if what you're focusing on works beautifully, then that's the dream. And yes, entrepreneurs have that optimism, but we also all have that fear of something going wrong. And if you've only built one line of business, well, that can be lethal. Now, something that's interesting with your business is that you do have some revenue diversification angles, which is common. It's something adjacent to what you're doing in your case. I've seen placements, I've seen outsourcing. And I wanted to end off with, firstly, the logic there, why you do this. And then secondly, advice you might have for other entrepreneurs on the need to balance focus versus diversification, because I struggle with this myself basically every day.
It's a thing that we also sometimes struggle with, but in our life and being in business, we've made some good decisions, we've made some bad decisions, we've bumped our heads. And the one thing it always comes back to is an old saying, don't keep all your eggs in one basket. In saying that, is we don't mean you have to like open multiple businesses. That's also a good thing. If you do open multiple businesses, please just open them with Capitec Bank, because they're going to take your places in any case. But in saying that, if we just did software development, it's a long process. Things just change over time, apps are being developed a bit quicker and everything as well. But we realized many, many years ago that there's different areas that actually supported the whole process. From having offering outsourcing, total outsource solutions to clients where we do development from beginning to end, to deliverable when they actually just take the app live, like a one-stop shop where we can actually help them with that, to just giving them a resource. They might be in demand for somebody can help them with the internal projects they want to do internally. So we basically, in our previous business, also had placements for a lot of people in different areas, most of them in the development space, in the business requirement space, even testing space, within different areas within the IT infrastructure and the business side of the business. When we do technology, we touch points and all of the above that we just mentioned, saying, you know what, we need to speak to developers, we need to speak to business, we need to make sure we get all these parties together to make sure everything is successful. So we basically, apart from the app development and Olympia Engage, we do have the outsourcing of projects, placements of resources, where we assist customers to achieve what they want. And we personally go search for these people, usually for a network of people that we know that can give an immediate benefit to the client, but also people that we know personally that can actually assist the clients. We don't know all the people in the market, but we try to help people with people that we've dealt with in the last 20, 30 years that can make a difference. For entrepreneurs like us out in the business, diversification works when it deepens your ecosystem. So stay close to your core capability by discipline about execution and ensure new services reinforce your strategy If you do your business, the strength that you've got, in our case, we are very strong in the app space and the software development space that we've done, developing our apps, but we also support it with areas that's complementary to that, that we can actually make sure that the whole offering is a successful and a enjoyable experience to clients. But at the same time as well, the client get the benefit of having access to very good people. And it also gives you a little bit of space in the business that if your development side is going a bit slow, you have a different income stream that you can actually tap into from resourcing as well and helping customers to get the right people as well. It offers a little bit of a different view, but I always try to say to companies out there, you know what, if you're good at something, you stick to that, but always look at areas that's complementary to what you do and that you can actually offer a service that's an income generator for your business as well. It makes a huge impact, especially when there's a bit of quiet times in the business. And we all know we go through that, unfortunately, but it also keeps you on your toes to make sure that you actually grow your business.
Yeah, the plan is always to focus on what you're really good at, but it's that Mike Tyson quote, right? Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And when life punches you in the mouth, then having a bit of diversification, having another mouth, it's quite nice. The one that hasn't been punched today, of course. And that's life as an entrepreneur. Something that Capitech understands, I understand, and you clearly understand as well. I think that's probably all we have time for on this podcast. I'm keen to direct people to the right place if they'd like to learn more about Olympia and chat to you guys about the services that you offer. What is the best way for someone to contact you and find out more?
They can actually go to our website, www.olympiahld.com, or they can contact myself or George. Very easy. It's marnie@olympiahld.com or george@olympiahld.com. And we'll gladly assist and help where we can. We can't assist with everything. We can direct people into the right direction to speak to as well. From our side, is thank you very much for the opportunity. We were very excited to be part of this. The journey with the whole business, with you now, with Capitech, is exciting for us. And I think the future, being South Africa-based company, being here in one of the most beautiful countries in the world, we're super excited of what we still going to achieve and what we are going to be able to enable people to achieve in the future.
Absolutely. Marnie, George, thank you so much for your time on this podcast and all the best to you both with the business. Very cool what you've built. I wish you both a lot of success and to your teams on that side as well. I'll include in the show notes the links to your websites, etc., so people can easily find you. So thank you, Marnie, George, all the best.
Thanks for Capitech. Thanks for this awesome journey and for this awesome podcast. I believe what you're doing is going to be very successful and value-adding to people out there. So thank you very much for your time and effort as well.
Thanks for yourself and Capitech for making this podcast worthwhile.
Lovely. Ciao. Bye. Real stories and real people. Yours could be next. Plugged in with Capitech. Capitech is an authorized financial services provider, FSP 4669.